All right, guys. As you know, this this development process has been really intense. Shadow of the Colossus is one of the, I think, best games we've ever created here. And I really want to give a shout out to the dev team, the testers. Everybody's done a great job. As you know, I've been put in charge of composing the end credits theme to this touching, emotionally driven story about a man who is trying to bring back to life his dead wife by slaughtering these innocent beasts and becoming corrupted himself. And so I think there should be like a, you know, in with sensitivity to that in mind.
Right.
I think that when you finally roll credits on Shadow of the Colossus, perhaps you'd like to hear this theme.
Oh, wow. You got a temp track. Sorry, did someone open like a Chrome tab or something?
No, it's just,
Shh, I'm, shh. So, did someone's Bluetooth sync to this? I can't be the right music.
I clicked play on the file that was sent, and it's titled, It's This, I Promise.
Yeah, I foresee sort of like a black and white portraits of each of the colossi.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Maybe like the grave, you know, with the grass blowing gently in the breeze. You know, clouds up in the sky. And maybe just the mournful architecture of the game.
I mean,
because I feel like people stop paying attention to credits at some point. So I would love to boost the volume by 75% at this point in the credits.
So it becomes...
Right,
significantly
the
louder.
Solo.
Significantly louder.
When the alto sax starts wailing.
Yeah.
At the end of this game.
Yeah. Do you have any questions, or should we just print this? Should we just put this on the DVD?
I mean, I guess I'll speak to this. You know, as the design lead on Shadow of the Colossus, my wife has passed away, and this was a deeply personal story. The idea of the impossible dream of somehow bringing her back to life and the emotional toll it would take to eventually realize this. And just hearing this sound now, hearing this music, after just pouring my soul into this project for the past 36 months of development, I couldn't be more moved. This is perfect.
Yeah, this... This really brings home what we were trying to have the player experience. This is you've done amazing work here.
Thank you.
A previous game, Eco, had a credit song. This fucking kicks the shit out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So great.
Well,
job.
Guys, I'm glad you like my song. Let's print it.
We share our favorite music that plays when the credits roll, and we roll through the games we're playing now this week on Get Played.
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to Get Played. I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, along with my fellow host, Nick Weiger.
I'm Nick Weiger, along with my fellow host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Get Played.
And welcome to those of you who... sat out the month of Pokemon in protest.
Yeah, welcome back, welcome you fucking back. Babies.
We had a lot of fun. Sorry you weren't able to appreciate it. But for those of you who wished we would be cosmically punished somehow for a full month of Pokemon, which was Matt's idea. Matt himself has contracted the coronavirus.
That's right. I've had a dance with the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. And let me tell you, she is not a kind lady. It's, to my surprise, real. It's a real thing.
We were all shocked.
Yeah, well, it's good that we all got in the same room to do this, too. You sort of get it, like, you know, when somebody gets chicken pox, you're supposed to get all the kids together. It's sort of like that.
Right, yeah.
If we all have COVID, then it's like, who cares?
Pass me one of those mozzarella sticks.
Oh, here, let me lick it for you first.
All right, thanks. That's good.
Yeah, I don't recommend getting COVID.
Yeah.
Which is FYI. If you are thinking about maybe going to a crowded bar in your town, maybe don't. don't do that. You know, use your better judgment instead of thinking, this will be fine.
Right.
I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum, Matt. I read some research that said that carbon dioxide levels were a fantastic monitor for whether or not you will be exposed to COVID in any environment. Uh-huh. So I went out and got a carbon dioxide sensor that gives me carbon dioxide PPMs in any location. So I can carry this portable device with me. And if it goes above like 1,000, 2,000, I'm like, fuck, get out of this space. Get out.
Wow.
That's fascinating.
If we were a cartoon, you'd be like the gadget one. Like of the three of us, like you're all about gadgets. Yeah, you're like Donatello. You're all about gadgets.
Yeah.
I don't know what Nick and I are. Probably the same one. The one that sucks. But
Donatello's the one that sucks.
No, but you're like the best one because you have all the gadgets.
Yeah, but he's like the worst turtle.
Well,
I think he's pretty cool. He's definitely OP in the arcade game. He's got the longest reach on his bow staff.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Great. But like.
And that,
no
you know, is
kid,
the measure of
no
being cool.
No child is like in the 80s or 90s was like, oh, I want to be the nerd turtle. If you like Ninja Turtles, you're already a nerd. You don't want to become one. You want to be a leader or an asshole, or you want to be able to party.
I wanted to be Donatello.
What?
I'll say that. That's what
you
I wanted.
I can't believe you're shocked by this, Heather.
He does machines. He does gadgets. I thought that was cool. I thought he was like, you know, he was inventive and resourceful. And I also like that he was rocking the purple colorway, and which, you know, one of my favorite colors.
It takes
reminds
a bold
Los Angeles Lakers,
a bold guy to pull off purple. Not everybody pulls off purple.
Yeah, like, I'll wear some purple. Why not?
Michelangelo, Grimace, sure. The Joker.
Grimace is a big one.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
All twisted in their own way.
Yeah.
Donatello, not Michelangelo.
Oh, wait, you got COVID
brain, Abadaga.
I have COVID, so I can't really be held accountable for anything
No, it's happening. It's real.
This COVID has gone all the way to my brain.
It'll do that. I really like Donatello. I think that if we're gonna assign each of us a role in the Ninja Turtles, I think that Devin naturally is the party dude, being the rocker musician. He's Michelangelo.
Sure. Yeah.
Heather is the Donatello.
God damn it!
Yeah. I guess one of us is gonna be cool but rude. Which I guess is maybe, I don't know. I feel like Matt, you're maybe ruder than me, but you are also very polite.
He's the coolest of all of us for sure.
This can't be true at all. We can't go down this
road.
That's
true.
I my feelings were really hurt that you said that I'm rude.
Okay, so maybe you're not. Then I'll be Raphael.
I'm spiraling here.
No,
like, have I ever slighted Nick?
Nick is Leonardo.
Okay.
100% because he's.
Okay, great.
Because it's like, oh, I want to do a spinoff podcast. It should be about anime. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
You're like, we should fight these contracts for the next year. I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, right. Let's do it.
And of course, I have a lot of swords.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I take it back. Me being like, how can Nick say that I'm rude and I take shots at you every single week? How can Nick say that about me? Me just roasting you like it's my job?
I guess I am sitting on a Zoom window in front of like,
you bought a carbon thing.
Carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide.
PPM meter, yeah.
Yeah, meter.
Is there a dumb one? Maybe that's Matt.
Wait, okay. Oh, now somebody is the rude one. We spent an hour figuring this out.
Yeah. And the Reddit comments are just like correcting us.
This is the best episode ever.
This should always be the show. All right. I read an article that was just very grim yesterday. This was in The Atlantic by Catherine J. Wu on this very the subject that we're all currently discussing.
And
the title is just The Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
No, I know this article.
the title is just "You are going to get COVID again and again and again."
Oh my God.
Sure. All right.
Well, some of us still haven't gotten it the first time because we have been doing our goddamnedest to stay healthy. Matt Apodaca's got a few more. He's got a lower risk threshold than I do.
Yeah.
You know, I have been, I don't know if you read this, but if you drink your urine, you won't get COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing that and it's not true.
No.
It's just guzzling my own piss.
God,
that's something I will say though is about about me having COVID is that I feel okay. It's very serious. Be careful.
You're vaxxed and boosted though. Yeah?
I'm vaxxed and boosted, and I'm very happy to be both those things, and very fortunate to then be able to be like, to order groceries to my house and have them dropped off at my front door and stuff. I feel very lucky. Because man, what a fucking nightmare the beginning of this was.
Yeah.
When all this was happening.
Yeah, truly. And also there are many people who like they can't work from home. They're choosing between like their health and their fellow workers' health and a paycheck if they're gonna stay home. You know, it's grim.
I believe that's the United States problem. I think that's
a U.S. problem.
That's a U.S. For our international listeners, here's how we break that down. In the U.S., you're basically born like a giraffe into the wild.
Yeah,
like they're like start fucking running, go.
Yes.
Whereas everywhere else, I think you're sort of born like a litter of puppies, and you got time with your mom, and you're learning stuff. It's like David Attenborough documentary everywhere else. That's me. That's Heather Ann Campbell on the United States.
Look, I'll be the first one to say it. This place not that great.
It's got some problems. Some things that could be fixed.
Yeah.
But one nice thing that takes your mind off of the dystopia in which we live, the late capitalist hellscape in which we're all born into and continue to reside.
What is it?
Video games. I'm curious.
That's right.
Yeah.
What are you guys playing?
What are you playing? I right now could not imagine making a noise like that. My poor sweet throat.
It's nice. When Ash used to drop by, I'd be out in the backyard doing like sort of vocal fry exercises. It was much harder for me to. What do you play? But,
Now
I got, I'm not doing that while Ash is around. Know what I mean?
Has anyone heard from Ash? Is he just still with his dad?
I saw him on the news.
Oh, okay. You saw him on the news.
Yeah. He commandeered a tank.
I'm starting to wonder what side of this he's on.
He's on Ash's side. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He's looking out for number one.
Yeah.
I like the idea that somebody would skip last month and be like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Sorry, you got to go back and listen to the canon, okay?
Yeah.
That's how you know what's going on. And we're going to reference that for years now.
Guys, I want to go first.
Please.
Because I got back to some regular gaming this week. Lots of fun. I played a little bit more of Stranger of Paradise. Fucking loved it.
Ooh.
Like, I felt like my first exposure to it was right on the heels of Elden Ring, and I was not enthusiastic about Stranger of Paradise. Now that it's been a month, I leaned in, died like, I don't know, 10, 12 times trying to remember how to play the fucking game.
Yeah.
Because I'm like saved in the middle of a dungeon and I'm like, what is, I don't even know which direction I'm going in. But loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Have we talked about, so I was playing it in Japanese and I was like, this isn't funny. So I went into the voice settings, set it to English. Every time the main dude dies, he goes, "This sucks." It is so enjoyable. I really hope we get to do it on a future We Play You Play, because I can't wait for you guys to, one, send me screenshots, and like I just want to be on the text thread while you guys are playing. The other thing I'm doing, which was on my list of shit that I wanted to do this year, is I started playing a Vita game that I don't remember buying. I have no idea what it is. I'm afraid to plug it on the show because what if it's porno? But I'm playing a game called Remaster on the Vita, which is about a girl who gets a job as a game developer in a neighborhood in Tokyo that I personally really enjoy when I am there, called Koenji. I played like, I don't know, an hour of it. Really, really pleasant. I mean, it's tropey as fuck. You know, like girls open the door and you hear like a boing because their boobs are so big.
Sure.
That's going to happen.
I mean, that's just reflecting reality.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying that too. And I don't know. I feel really optimistic about the future games. I saw this trailer for a new game by the developer of Shenmue that looks like Space Harrier. That looks fucking great. I know I mentioned last week that there are new Death Stranding views on my Atmos Windows. Today they launched... So you remember the Matrix demo, how it looked like real city, but it wasn't a real city?
Yeah.
Today, all the new views are of a fake fucking city in that same engine. So I
put
look
me
at
in
the,
there. That's cool.
What? I look at the fake windows and it's a fake city now. It's not even, I mean, Death Stranding was fake, but now it's a fake city. I love it. I love a lot of stuff right now, guys.
That's
great. A lot
great.
Of stuff. That's what There's I'm playing.
There's a lot of content and media to enjoy. That feels like, if anything, there's a lot of stuff out there where it's like I saw that. Hey, that was fun. I played that. Hey, that was great. I read that. Ha! How about that? You know?
Yeah.
It's these escapes. At least we have that. And speaking of which, first off, this month's game that we're going to talk about for our We Play You Play is Norco, which you can find on PC Game Pass. I'll give a little reminder at the end of each episode. But the past few months, I think maybe all of the ones we've done so far, I've gotten a little behind the eight ball in playing through the game because, you know, Disco Elysium, I already finished, but I was doing a second playthrough and I hadn't finished my second playthrough by the time we did that episode. Elden Ring, I still haven't finished. Pokemon Gold, Silver, we discussed. So Norco, I finished. I played through immediately. I said I was going to start it tomorrow when we did our last record, and I did, and I marathoned through it over the weekend. It's like 8 to 10 hours. It's not a super long game. So I'll save my thoughts on Norco until the end of the month, this We Play You Play. Instead, I'll talk about Citizen Sleeper, which is also on Game Pass and is superficially a similar game. But aesthetically, it's completely different, and the way it plays is actually pretty different. The Norco is a pretty linear point-and-click game with some, a little bit of branching, a little bit of player choice. But by and large, it's almost visual novel adjacent, some light puzzle solving, a little bit of combat, and it's very much like, you know, looks and plays in a lot of ways like a Sierra game from the 90s. Or you know what? What's a good comparison is it honestly reminded me a lot of Snatcher, which we covered on the podcast in terms of how it's presented and how it plays. Citizen Sleeper is like crisp and high res, has this gorgeous 2D character art. The artist is Guillaume Sengalin, I believe. Okay. And it's developed by Jump Over the Age, a.k.a. Gareth Damian Martin. Their previous game was called In Other Waters. I didn't play that one, but a well-received indie game. And this one, it's just, it like, it looks pristine. It looks very sharp and crisp. It looks like a, it looks like a 4K Blu-ray menu, honestly, in kind of the way it's presented. And it's just like, you know, like Norco, it's a lot of text, but a lot of really well-written text. And, you know, we were talking about our current society right now. This one definitely kind of like, you know, jumps into the future and sort of extrapolates, okay, where is this, where is capitalism heading? And so the setup for this is basically you are a sleeper who is a you know, you basically were a human who surrendered your consciousness to to sort of something of an android body that is now owned by a corporation. And you've basically kind of gone on the lam from this corporation, although as far as I am right now, I don't really know what the origin of that, what the motivation for that was, where that came from. I just know that you've separated from your previous job, having, you know, leased your consciousness, or given your consciousness rather to this corporation and leasing it back in exchange for your labor. So you need life-saving, like, medication, basically the equivalent of immunosuppressants, in order so that your body doesn't decay, because this android body you have has been given forced obsolescence, like, you know, a fucking iPhone. It's basically, once you're not working for the company anymore, it's going to gradually decay, so you can't just use it for your own means. So it's really interesting. It talks, you know, it deals a lot with, like, the connection between consciousness and body. And it's, and here's the thing, we all love Disco Elysium. It's not exactly like Disco Elysium, like, it plays a little bit differently, but much like Disco Elysium, it just has dice. It's just an RPG with dice. You see the dice. I love seeing the dice. Let me see the dice.
Oh,
I need to hide those dice rolls. Thank you, Matt.
Hickory dickory dock.
Jack and Jill went up the hill.
For those of you under the age of, say, 25, the boys right now are referencing Andrew Dice Clay, a comedian who came and went in the 90s as a sort of bravado shock comic, known for his catchphrases.
And his randy, like, limericks, like, he do, like, horny, like sex related limericks, and
he'd people smoke a cigarette,
he'd smoke a cigarette and reach over the side of his head, as Matt is doing now. Yeah. Great. It's great stuff.
Really funny.
Absolutely holds up.
But yeah, no, I'm playing through this and I'm like, this is, it's really fucking cool. It seems to, you know, the writing is really strong and it seems to have a lot to say, just about, you know, it seems like a lot, there's a lot of social commentary, but it's also just like really fascinating, dense world building, and just a very, very pleasing, just a very, very pleasing screen to look at. I'm just I love the character art. I think I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to play more of it, and it seems like there's quite a bit of choice in terms of how you actually want to navigate this bad boy. So yeah,
that's
Citizen
great.
Sleeper on Game Pass.
Great. I want to check that out. It's on. Is that on PC Game Pass or on Xbox as well?
I'm playing it on PC. I'm honestly not sure if I could check if it's cross platform.
That sounds right up my alley. Honestly, I'm in between games.
You can
right
play
now.
It on Xbox.
Okay, yeah. Great. Maybe I'll download it after this. I'm between games right now because I'm playing Dark Souls, but I'm at a spot in Dark Souls right now. I don't think I'm very far into Dark Souls, but I've hit a wall of sort of like intimidation and frustration. Sort of like I don't want to completely give up on it, but I kind of want to play a game that I could be good at for like a second. Because like, think
sure.
Cause, like the last game that I played before this was like Pokemon and Lego Star Wars. Easy,
right? But you also
and
before
finished
that was Elden Ring.
Yeah,
this
I
year.
Finished Elden Ring. Yeah,
so you can finish Dark Souls.
I'm sure that I can. I know that I can. I just I think just since I haven't had COVID for very long, but like my attention span for games right now is low.
Sure.
Like I booted up my PS5 earlier and I was playing Sifu because I heard they added difficulty settings
And I was like, now we're talking. I can play this on easy. Let's fucking go. and so I was playing that a little bit, and it felt good to sort of like get put some time into. But I don't want to stop playing Dark Souls. I definitely want to keep going, but I just so it's that same. I feel like it's scarier than Elden Ring. And Elden Ring was grim and dark and depressing and stuff too. But Dark Souls has some really creepy characters, enemies in the game. And it's just like there's these like tree monsters that run out. They look like bushes, and they just immediately start sprinting toward you. That's scary. That's some scary shit. And I'm playing a pyromancer right now, so I only have one firepower thing in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I only have so many of them. But I do like it. You can't jump. You don't have a horse. Those are things you have to get used to.
Well, also, there's like, yeah, if you're going backwards from, if you're working your way backwards from Elden Ring, but also there's, in terms of that feeling of fright, of terror, it feels like a lot of what mitigates that in Elden Ring is just like, yeah, you talked about the horse. You could just go outside in the overworld and just sort of ride around a little bit. You know, you don't feel like you're trapped.
A friend of mine was just texting. He just got Elden Ring, and he came straight to me, and he was like, do you have any tips? And I was surprised at how many tips I had from him just from watching videos and from like playing myself. I feel like I gave him like really good advice, and I felt really proud of myself because of that.
What was your final play time? Did you, when you're like 130
hours?
Yeah,
it was like 169 hours. Like, I better have something good to say about it. Yeah. Spent more time on that than anything I ever did in college.
My pitch for you when we all finished, for you guys, and Heather rejected this, when we all finished Elden Ring, and I am going to finish this game, maybe after Citizen Sleeper, is that we take all of our play times, and then each of us individually spend that same amount of time learning a new skill.
Yes.
So, like, I don't know.
Heather's shaking her head because I remember immediately when you sent this text, Heather immediately was like, absolutely not.
No.
Which is fair as the busiest of us.
Sure.
I was thinking about this as I was, not to keep harping on that I have COVID, but as I was reading the results of my antigen test, I was thinking about, man, I went all this time and I finally, it took, you know, almost 3 years into this thing get it. I could have learned how to play guitar. I could have learned how to do a kickflip on a skateboard. I could have done all the things that would have satisfied young me. And I guess I still can, because this is never ending, apparently. But I would like to learn a new skill, at least one. A skill would be great.
I'd love to have a skill.
Yeah.
You have an extra point in your job menu.
Okay.
Drop it into a skill. What's it going to be?
I got one.
Great.
Bowling.
What?
I feel like I've been in enough situations where.
Enough.
Hey, we're bowling, and it'd be great to be like, hey, I'm good at bowling. So I'm gonna say bowling. I'd love to be good at bowling. That feels like also an achievable bit of mastery. It feels like if I bowl enough, I can get pretty decent at bowling. So bowling.
I feel like I'm a pretty adept cook. But I'd like to be the type of cook that can not look at a recipe. And make something good. Yeah. I can follow a recipe pretty well. I do pretty well in the kitchen if there's like a recipe in front of me. But if I could just eyeball something and be like, that looks good, and then you know, everybody's really impressed with what I made them and they like it, that'd be pretty nice.
That's a good skill.
Improvisational cooking.
Drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With like the Salt Bay flourishes.
Right.
I think I'm of two minds. One is, what would be fun now? What would be fun in 10 years? And I think today, if I could drop a skill point, it would be fluent Japanese.
Oh, like, yeah.
Just capitalize on my existing 2 years of lessons, almost 3 years, and just like drop a coin in and be like, now you've got the whole thing and you're a master of the language. No novel is outside of your reach in terms of like just reading and enjoying. That would be great. But if I was thinking like 10 years from now, what kind of skill?
Yeah.
I guess I would drop my point into survival know-how. Yeah. Like, it would be great to be like, yeah, don't worry, guys. I know how to, I have weapons training. I have, I know how to make clean water.
Yeah.
I know how to sew, like, just like to drop my first skill point into full blood, like going to a public park and being like, we can eat that. We can eat that leaf. That yes. leaf we can use, that we can eat, like all that shit.
As soon as we started talking about this, I knew Heather's answer was going to be combat adjacent.
feeling less confident about my bowling yeah. answer now. should maybe respec.
Wait, okay, yeah, sure, Heather. You can do all that stuff. But Nick can get a perfect 300 every time he... I think part of the
fun
of...
That would be sick as hell.
Part of the fun of bowling to me is not being that good at it. Because then you can always impress yourself. If you sure. got a 300 every time you bowled, what are we doing?
I guess I'm probably thinking about one incident where I went to an event and there was one guy who was really good at bowling. And I was like, fuck, man, Willie knows how to bowl. I was like, yeah, Willie does know how to... Willie's good.
If you go by Willie, you're an amazing bowler. I already know.
I got drunk once and bowled at the old Holly Star Lanes, which was the bowling mm-hmm. alley in, what's that movie?
Lebowski?
It might be Lebowski. It's torn down now, but it was towards the end of the existence of this bowling alley on Santa Monica Boulevard. And I went in drunk and I bowled like a 225 or 230
wow,
or something.
Jesus
I was like,
Christ.
Unstoppable. And at the end, the guy came up to me and was like, hey, you want that ball? Because it was like a public ball that I was bowling with, like one of their, and I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, it's yours. And I
got wow.
with the fucking bowling ball.
Fucking chucks it at you.
That was like a side quest.
Yeah, you unlocked a bowling ball.
Never, ever again have I been that good at bowling. It was like one perfect night where it's like good music. I was hammered. I was young, like super young.
Yeah.
It was great.
That rocks.
Awesome.
I love that he gave it to you.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I got to keep a Holly Star Lanes bowling ball, and I wanted to get rid of it when Mary and I consolidated our houses and started living together. And Mary was like, you can't get rid of that. And I'm like, when am I going to, what, am I going to carry a bowling, what? And she's like, you can't get rid of it. And it still says Holly Star Lanes on it, which is pretty cool.
Mary rocks. Of course you can't get rid of that. Yeah. Do you think he gave it to you because the guy started tearing down the building as soon as you left? So here, take this. One last bowling ball for me to get rid of.
I did turn around and the building was gone.
Oh.
Like I was like, oh, what the fuck? Wow.
Should we talk about what we're talking about today, folks?
Let's talk about what we're talking about.
Thank you. Thank you for moving us on to our main topic. It's another edition of That's What I Call Video Game Music. We're talking end credits themes. You finish the game, the ending cinematic plays, you've beaten the big bad guy, and finally, the credits start rolling, and these in this day and age, rolling and rolling and rolling. So many names that are involved in some of these AAA titles. But you're hearing some music, and a lot of times that music gets locked into your memory space forever because A, it is just like a huge, like consequential moment and maybe in a game that you loved. And B, sometimes these are fucking off awesome tunes. So
great tunes.
We got some of these. We got some picks, some of our favorite video game end credit themes. Who wants to start?
I'm going to go first. Here we go.
Heather's going first.
Great.
So I'm going to take you back to my living room when I was a child. And I'm going to say that my mom forced me to take piano lessons. I was terrible. I never learned music theory. I was so bad at it. Like I would study one piece of music for the entire year, learn how to play it and play that at the recital. And for me, it was usually like Batman's theme or like some, you know, the other parents are like, well, she don't play Mozart. But when I
you're playing like the Adam West Batman theme.
Yeah, anything, any Batman theme.
Wow.
Like I'd just be like, I won't play a Batman theme. I like learned how to play the Star Trek, the motion picture theme, I think.
Wow.
That's cool.
But one year I was like, oh, wait, I could figure out a song. And spent a huge amount of time note by note plucking away until I had figured out the song that plays over the credits of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Now, I wasn't a kid at the time, but hearing this made me feel like, oh, how nice that, like, you come full circle and you experience a video game as an adult, and it harkens back to your youth in some way, and then feels nostalgic, even though you're hearing the song for the first time, rendered in this particular way. So here is the end credits theme from The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Really great.
There is a series of albums released by Square Enix called Final Fantasy Piano Collections. Reminds me of that.
Here we go.
This, yeah, you know, this is like, oh, different areas.
Sure, sure.
It's giving you everything that you got up until the end of the game. Yeah. What a satisfying end of the game, too.
Yeah, really cool. I had some of the Final Fantasy piano collections. I later realized that they were bootlegs because it was at the time it was just like you were just buying these on CD and you didn't realize that there were some. I bought them from some bootleg labels, but yeah, I had a few of them, and I also had one of my favorite albums was the Final Fantasy IV Celtic Moon.
Hey,
which is they redid they arranged all the soundtrack with traditional Celtic instruments. I was like, oh, that was really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great. That's a great pick. Great pick, Heather.
Thanks.
I'll go next, and I'll stay in the Nintendo verse. But I'll go over to Mario Land. It's Mario World, in fact. This one, you know, I also have a memory attached to being a kid and finishing this game after getting all 96 worlds and the little star in your save, and rolling credits on this one. And it's very, very satisfying, a very, very good conclusion to this game. Super Mario World ending theme by Koji Kondo.
Nick, I won't lie. This was the very first song I thought of when whoever pitched this episode.
I think it was Matt, actually. But yeah, this one came to mind very early on.
Instantly.
I think I got to do it.
How could you not hear this? How could you hear this and not feel like $1 million?
Yeah, it's so great.
This is great. And just think. Bowser's gonna steal Peach yet again.
But you don't know that. You're a kid. You're like problem solved.
Evil is vanquished yet again by my hand.
Have you ever seen the guys who play the Mario music like ragtime piano on TikTok?
I think I must. Oh. I've, that sounds familiar to me.
It's so good. It's so
That's
good.
Cool.
Oh, I've heard that song played as ragtime piano. It's like, oh. What a great piece of music.
Yeah, that'd be a natural fit.
Yeah. Apodaca.
Look.
What kind of end credits themes are you going to play for us?
This was actually an interesting exercise for me because I was just like, okay, what games have I finished that I've heard the end of the credit? Like, and I've finished a lot of games, but luckily I have a handy list of games that I've finished since the start of 2020.
Nice.
And so that all these games are from this list. Why don't we stay in the Nintendo verse, as Nick said? This is from the Switch version of The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
just triumphant. You went to that. You went to that. That really scared me for some reason. I got really scared right now. You're at the top of that mountain. You beat all those bosses. You defeat Ganon. What a treat that game is.
It's really good.
Obviously, nicely arranged and orchestrated. This is like, you know, this is the remaster of the Game Boy original, yes, which I never played. But I'm sure if you're a kid, you finish Link's Awakening on your Game Boy, that's like what you hear in your head.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, it's just that majestic.
Absolutely. It's very, yeah, like, even thinking about that, like, when we were playing, sorry to bring it up to all the haters out there that listen, but when we were playing Pokemon, the music in that...
Pokemon is over. They're still talking about
they're
Pokemon.
They're still talking about it? I'm so mad. I hope Matt has COVID forever. When I was a kid, I remember just being like, wow, this is like really cool music. This is really good. And in listening back to it is really good, but not for the reason I thought it was. I was like, this is very like complex sounding. And it is to some degree too, but it sounds like a Game Boy. But I loved the remake of Link's Awakening, and I intend to play the original at some point because what a satisfying game.
I bounced off of the remake. I did play it for, I got about, you know, I got like three or four dungeons deep or however it did. And then I just stopped playing it. I guess I should go back to it. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just stop playing a game. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing. You start playing a game and sometimes you just stop.
Just stop. There's no real reason for it. You just stop.
No. Well, the reason usually is there's another game.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. That can happen.
Another game comes. It's only, get that.
It's only like what I'd like to call landlocked games that keep you from playing other games. There's no mm-hmm. rivers that run away from Elden Ring, except for Nick, who's just like, well, I don't like it. I'm going to stop.
I liked it. I loved it. I'm going to play it.
I can't believe you guys like it.
I had to stop to play fucking Pokemon Gold and Silver.
And then look how that turned out.
I know it didn't. I didn't finish it. It's a mess. I'm playing some more manageable games for a bit, and then I'm going to come back to Elden Ring. I'm going to finish that.
Nick, you got to eat your vegetables.
I will. It is funny to think of Elden Ring as eating your vegetables.
No, that's a nice juicy piece of prime rib, baby.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. I will finish this game.
Nick, are you playing? You're playing on PS5, right?
Yeah, I've been playing Elden Ring on PS5.
Great, great, great. When you are getting back into it, let me know, and I'll see if I can invade you and ruin your life.
Yeah, no, or if you want to speed the process up, summon us, and we'll just wreck house with you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would cool. be awesome. Yeah.
You'll do the fire giant in one try.
Yeah, that would be fucking dream come true. To play games with my buds?
Hell
All
yeah.
right, let's play another end credits theme here. God, this remains a controversial game years after its release. But you know what's not controversial? How good the ending credits theme is. This is from The Last of Us Part 2.
Why is it controversial? I don't remember.
The game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's too violent. It upset people because it was too violent. And they're like, honestly, one of the complaints of most things is plot armor, right?
Yeah, like, sure.
Oh, it's not fun to watch this because the character has plot armor.
Yeah.
And the moment that's taken away and been like, no, this is a fucking ruthless nightmare world. Look what might happen. People are like, no.
Yeah.
No, goddammit, no. Come on.
Well, God forbid, too, you play as a girl in a video game. Yuck. You can't do that.
What? Two girls? Two girls?
I'm going to be sick. That's almost worse. Oh, yuck.
I liked it because I'm an ally.
Yeah, I liked it because I'm woke.
That's the other problem. It's like you can't like the game without seeming like you're taking us. You can't just be like,
"Well, I like the game.
This game is fucking ruthless."
Yeah.
I like the unmitigated access to nightmare violence. Holy shit, what a fun game.
Yeah. I was just literally about to say that the Santa Barbara section of that game fucking rocks, and it's like easily one of the most violent things in a video game.
Absolutely brutal. And then just like what's happening to everyone who's like, you know, enslaved there is just so like Jesus Christ. All the people who are in prison, they're just like living in hell.
Yeah.
And then you're just slaughtering all of their captors. It is super fun. I that's a great choice, Heather. That is a very satisfying ending thing. I almost picked Last of Us Part 1 end credits theme, which is similarly like you know, just kind of hits to the right spot, and it comes right after a cinematic and just sort of kicks like a very, you know, one of the most memorable game endings ever, and then it just kicks in at just the right time, and then just that's a great pick.
A fantastic pick. Way to go. Nick, what about your next one?
How am I going to follow that? I'll tell you how.
Oh, shit.
With a composition by the great Yasunori Mitsuda. Now, I considered it as Heather picked Last of Us Part 2. I talked about Last of Us Part 1. I thought about the Part 1 of this franchise, Chrono Trigger, which also has a great end credits theme. But I actually went with Chrono Cross, recently re-released for the Switch. Unfortunately, a pretty disappointing port by all accounts. But this is a game which is kind of flawed, but you can't say anything negative about its music, including its ending theme, Radical Dreamers, by Yasunori Mitsuda, the vocals by Noriko Mitsuse.
Wow.
This was still when it was novel to have vocals in a song.
Yeah. I think we maybe talked on a previous episode, maybe, but just like the... We'll hear him for a second. I think we talked on a previous episode, but like, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1 has like an amazing end credits track, and it's the same sort of thing of just like, holy shit. You know, like obviously there's speech in that game, but it's still just like, wow, you could just put a song in a video game.
Can they do that?
They can, apparently. But yeah, that was the big, you know, the obviously the PS1 Saturn era ushered
Thank
in.
You. Crude, Thank you for crude, including my boy.
You're
that
welcome.
That meant a lot to me.
And N64, but you know, I'll put N64 to the side because, are you okay?
Yeah,
I just
I'm trying to crack my back while I'm sitting here, and I just broke the handle, the armrest on my chair.
Oh no,
man!
It's okay. I'll fix it. I'm gonna just get a screwdriver.
You're physically not injured. It's just your chair.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Ushered in 3D gaming in its earliest era, but also just like audio was like the huge advance.
Mm.
Like you compare to the what you could do with video game soundtracks and with the presence of voice acting versus what you had in the cart era. It's just a gigantic. I'll say quantum leap, although I know that's apparently quantum physicists say that's the improper way to use that, but whatever.
Shut up, nerds.
Oh. Wow.
That's my choice. Radical Dreamers from Chrono Cross. Matt, you're up.
All right. I know Nick has yet to hear this song. But I think,
God damn it!
But it's not a spoiler. A song can't be a spoiler.
No.
Do you not want to hear it?
Unless it's a rap song that recaps the whole plot.
Oh my God! Well, okay. Well, spoiler alert: Elden Ring ends like that. Like Will Smith
choice.
Recapping the entire thing. The Jar of Alexander. This is the ending. This one's just simply called Ending from Elden Ring. Here we go.
You just attacked and defeated God.
Was your impact on the lands between as helpful as you initially thought? Who could say?
Oh, I achieved my goals. This is also one of the saddest themes, because hearing it means, I'm at the end of Elden Ring.
Mm. Yeah, I know. I miss Elden Ring.
Who
you can
wouldn't?
Play it again?
When is that DLC gonna drop?
I know. Give me that DLC.
Yeah.
I can't wait to take out those two swords and scream over and over again. Can't wait.
I still got a lot of the main campaign to finish, but I'll
where are you in it? I can't remember exactly. You're like, but you got like a significant
tree
chunk
sentinel.
In there. You're
he's
like,
at the, no, he's at the
progress.
Tree sentinel.
Yeah, I got my horse.
First encounter.
And then I've been battling the tree sentinel level one for 80 hours with a club.
Oh no.
Haven't improved.
All right, guys, we've had one Mario and we've had two Zeldas. So we need another Mario so that there's balance in the force.
Those are the rules.
Mm, yeah.
And I think
always two there are.
I think this was my favorite music of any Mario generation so far. With Super Mario Galaxy.
Wow.
And the Super Mario Galaxy. Also, I haven't credited any of the musicians on any of this music, but I have named the games and the songs, so you can look it up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Truth is, and I'm going to say this as a joke, but, you know, all callousness intended. If you wanted people to know your names, maybe you shouldn't have gotten into music. Maybe you should have been a movie star.
Yeah, thank
you.
Know
what I'm saying? That's right.
Yeah.
So.
Why don't you get in front of the line, huh?
I've been on Zoom for so many hours today. I'm sorry. I feel a little sassy. And all right.
You're doing great.
This is the credits and credits from Super Mario Galaxy. Woohoo!
Immediately so good. I would love it if Elden Ring ended like this. Like, you did it. You fixed the lands between.
I mean,
yeah, this is awesome.
Sure, let's fucking put it on the end of The Last of Us Part 2. You're like, oh my God, what?
Wow. We already credited one of the composers, Heather. Koji Kondo works on many of the Nintendo's biggest properties. Mahiro Yokota, another composer, the other credited composer on Super Mario Galaxy. I'd love a Galaxy. I'd love it if they ported Galaxy 2 to Switch. I keep waiting on that because I never played Galaxy 2.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
So it's awesome.
They have the Galaxy 1 port, but not 2.
Yeah. Or a fucking, I'll buy Galaxy again. I don't care. I'll buy it again if you put out a Galaxy collection.
Yeah, do
remaster
it.
Remaster both in like 1080p. Why
they,
not?
They love money and they hate money. It's a very interesting thing of Nintendo.
Yeah.
They'll charge you $60 for like a 30-year-old game and then also not give you any games you want.
Really good choice. I guess it falls to me again, and I picked this one because this one is great and also has to be on this list. Portal, Still Alive, written by Jonathan Colton, vocals by Ellen McLean. Let's take a listen.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science, We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead.
I think
there's no sense crying over
more than any video game song, I've listened to this one just for fun. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great track. There's another game, Mirror's Edge, that came out around the same time as Portal that also has a track in it called Still Alive that's also awesome. It's just this weird, like, very, very short span in gaming where two Still Alives were released almost contemporaneously, and they're both fucking bangers.
Still Alive from Mirror's Edge is on my running mix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a good running track.
Sometimes it puts out, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm running. I'm Mirror's Edge.
I think we put that song, if I'm remembering, I've heard it before. I've not played that game, but I think we put it in one of the award show episodes we did.
Of course.
In like the In Memoriam or something.
That makes sense.
Because we're, you know, it's funny.
Apodaca, you've got one more here.
I've got one
What's
more.
What's it going to be? What's it going to be?
Look, do we talk about this game too much? No. That's a dumb thing to say.
Yeah.
But I love everything about this game. We loved everything about this game. It's the end credits song from Disco Elysium, of course.
Nice.
Ooh.
So good.
All the music in this game is fantastic, of course, but you just went through an insane journey to get to this song.
And I feel like so often it's like when it starts playing during the cinematic and then when it cuts to the credits, and like this one has like a fantastic point in which it goes to the credits and it just sort of lines up with the music. It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
I was hoping we'll get to the part where it really starts to fucking shred.
Oh, we might.
Which is in a little bit.
I have been invited to a wedding where you have to dress flamboyantly. So I'm going to go cosplayed as Harry.
Wow.
Wow, that's great.
Don't do anything too crazy with any alcohol bottles at the wedding, though, if you don't catch my drift.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to be in the corner in a fucking mask.
Yeah. Sorry, the part where it really kicks in might be a little bit later than I expected.
That's okay.
It was nice to listen to this, though.
Yeah.
It's just really good.
Do we just keep covering?
I think it's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up to you right here.
Weiger's taking off his shirt. He's taking off his shirt on camera.
Here we go.
He's all right. He's sort of he's opening his window. And what are you doing? Stop yelling at those people, Weiger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that is fucking great.
Yeah. British Sea Power, the artist. Great soundtrack.
Really, really great soundtrack. Fantastic. Fantastic work.
Sorry, I wanted to go that. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, we had to. Dun, dun, dun. What if we didn't?
I know. I would have been disappointed.
Yeah.
I was going to bring in a bonus track here, but I think that Disco Elysium song's so good, I don't know if we need to follow it.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
How can you follow that?
Sorry.
And it's very satisfying when you roll credits on that game.
Yeah.
A really, really sad. I mean, what an experience.
What an experience.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, that was now that's why what I call video game music end credits. I also had a backup and I'll just say what it was. It was the end credits theme from Journey, which I really like, but I partly picked it to troll Heather because I know she doesn't like Journey. Anyway.
I was going to bring in the ending credits theme from Death Stranding, which is the song Death Stranding by Chiverches.
Yeah.
Such a good track.
Really good track.
I didn't prepare a bonus.
Well, you got COVID. It's okay, man.
I only did enough that my poor little sick body would allow.
Well, Matt, I hope your poor little sick body can hang in there for one more segment, because it's time for a regular quiz segment. You don't know, jack off. And given our music theme today, I thought we'd do the composer challenge.
This might be very hard,
but can you identify some of the best-selling video games in history by the name of the composer on their soundtracks?
Oh, no.
So this is pulled from the all-time top 20. There's a few of these.
God.
And I'll give you the name. You can buzz in with your name to guess.
Also,
after one wrong answer, if one of you answers incorrectly, I'll give a hint. So you can go first to take first crack at it, or you can wait for the hint.
I'm going to feel terrible. I should know every one of these people.
This is going to be kind of challenging. And also, I think, it's going to be kind of challenging because maybe the game is higher profile, but the composer is not as high profile. Although there are some very high profile composers here. All right, here we go. First up, Junichi Masuda.
Heather.
Go ahead, Heather.
Super Smash Brothers or Smash Brothers, whatever the Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers has a lot of credited composers, but the no iteration of Smash Brothers is in the all-time top 20. Here's a hint for this one. This just happened.
This just happened.
It's something that we all just did.
Is this a... I already rang in.
Yeah, it's Matt. Matt, do you have a guess?
I'm going to guess, because I don't have a better guess, I'm going to guess Sonic.
Junichi Masuda is one of the original developers and the credited composer, the only sole credited composer on Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow.
Oh, shoot.
Number 8 all time in sales with 47,520,000 units.
Christ,
let's pause real quick.
That's so many copies.
Execute all over my face.
I'm going to share my own audio here so we can hear the end credits music of each of these.
Great.
So here's the end credits soundtrack, the end credits score from Pokemon Red Blue.
Fantastic.
I'm sure you've heard this track many, many times, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Anyway, Junichi Masuda is the composer of Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. Okay, you're both knotted up at zero. Next up. C418. The composer is C418, a.k.a. Daniel Rosenfeld.
C418. Daniel Rosenfeld.
Daniel Rosenfeld. Here's a hint. We're a little old for this one, but this is the number one selling game of all time.
Heather. Minecraft.
It's Minecraft.
Wow.
Minecraft was the composer, credit composer, C418 is what he goes by professionally. 238 million units sold across platforms. Absolutely staggering.
It's weird.
Nearly the population of the United States.
It's weird to hear that that's the number one selling game of all time, and I've basically interacted with it 0%. Like, I've not even... Like, we did that one game on the show.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even, like, really, like, a Minecraft, like, experience, really.
We covered Minecraft story mode in our old format, which is so foreign from how Minecraft actually plays. I've messed around with Minecraft. I enjoy Minecraft. I have not finished the campaign. Apparently, there is an ending of Minecraft. And here is a portion of that ending theme. Very atmospheric score. I wonder how many people who play Minecraft know the composer. Certainly heard the music countless times.
This is like not what I would be expecting from the game.
It's very atmospheric, yeah. The whole score is like very...
Well, the The main story of Minecraft has you infiltrating a police department in 2045 Paris and then rebuilding it from the ground up.
Oh, okay.
Without corruption.
I'm going to have to try it.
It ends like this after another character in the game turns to you and says, "It's all blocks, Jimmy." No matter which way you turn it, it's going to look the same.
All right. Next up, Heather has one. Heather's on the board.
That's right.
Here's a very well-known video game composer, and this is the biggest game he's ever composed for. Jeremy Soule. Jeremy Soule. Here's a hint. It's the most recent entry in a long-running RPG franchise.
Recent entry in a long-running RPG franchise.
Hugely selling game, 20th of all time, 30 million units. It's been released on basically everything at this point and re-released endlessly. 10th anniversary edition came out recently.
Heather.
Oh.
Heather.
Skyrim.
That's right. It is Skyrim.
Wow.
And Skyrim, Heather has two now. Skyrim
That's right.
does not play the end credits when you finish the campaign, but if you select the credits from the menu, as some games do, you'll hear a little of this. Appropriately epic.
Oh, yeah. I should play this.
Yeah. It sounds... It doesn't sound like, but has... feels like... Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we look at Soule's gamography and filmography. He's done some TV and film composition. Like, he's done a lot of very recognizable mainstream properties. So, yeah, it's definitely... adjacent to that sphere. All right, next up. This one's going to be tough. I would not know this based on the name, certainly. You might not know it based on the hint, but we'll see. The three credited composers, Toru Minegishi, Manaka Tominaga, and Shiho Fujii. This is the number 11 selling game of all time with 43,800,000 units.
Fuck. 43 million copies.
43 million units, and here's a hint. This was bundled with a bulky peripheral.
Is it Donkey Konga?
It's not Donkey Konga. Donkey Konga, the number 11 million. Selling game of all time? Utterly ubiquitous in the collective consciousness?
Bundled with a bulky peripheral,
sold 13 million more copies than Skyrim. Donkey Kong. I wish we lived in that world, but no, Matt. Heather.
Packaged with a bulky peripheral.
Bulky peripheral.
Wii Fit.
It was Wii Fit, Heather.
Wow.
Yes. You are correct. Heather has 3-0. Wii Fit, and hey, the Wii Fit credits music. Could do a lot worse than this.
This is when you yourself hit 0 pounds.
You did it.
This plays over your hollowed out air light body. Like
they were really on something when they were making all this Wii music. All of it's good.
Yeah.
I love all of it. It's great.
This is playing in so many living rooms when the detectives walk in and they're like, "Oh, this again."
Yeah, you become your own chalk outline.
All right, we have two more here.
All right, I love this.
This is great.
The next name on this list, and he has two in the all-time top 20, two in the all-time top 10, actually. Woody Jackson. Bowser's name, Woody Jackson.
Two in the top 10.
Two in the top 10. Here's a hint. Here's a hint for you.
Heather, I'm going to, before the hint.
Yeah.
With a name like Woody Jackson, I'm going to guess Call of Duty.
It's not Call of Duty, no.
Shit!
But it is a Western developer.
Fuck!
As you could maybe infer from his name. It's a, here's the hint. Woody is a bit of a rock star.
Oh, Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto 5 is one of the games. Grand Theft Auto 5, number two of all time, 165 million units. And the other game that he is credited on, or one of the other games that he's credited on that's in the top 10, is Red Dead Redemption 2. I was surprised this sold this well, 44 million units. I mean, I know it's huge. I just didn't know it was this huge. So anyway, here's a little bit of the end music from Red Dead Redemption 2. All right, so Matt, you're on the board. You're not going to win,
no.
But you can get another point and get within a point of Heather.
And that's all I want.
Or Heather, you can take a commanding 4-1 lead with this last one, or maybe neither of you will get it, but I think you'll get this one. We talked about him already. One of the most legendary game composers of all time, Koji Kondo.
Heather.
Go on, Heather.
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers 1 is the best-selling game in the Mario franchise.
Wow.
58 million units, number 6 all time. And hey, the end theme from Super Mario Brothers. You recognize all of its music. This might be the least recognizable. Let's hear a little of this.
Oh, man.
We'll just loop this for the next 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I just, in case you were listening on your podcast feed and you were like, it sounded like Heather rang in before he even said the full name of the composer. That's what happened. It wasn't edited that way. That's exactly what I did.
You jumped right in there. Yeah, that was tricky. That was a tough one. But you guys did well.
I do wish that the ending theme music to Super Mario Brothers was just like corn.
Yeah. I'm very for anachronistic end credits themes. Like just something that doesn't match at all is very funny to me. What a funny idea.
Yeah.
That would have been, if you'd been the first kid at your school to finish Super Mario Brothers in the pre-internet days, and there was a corn song. There was a fully scored, like, metal song of a genre of music that did not yet exist. Like, new metal.
Yeah.
It was like, and you told your friends at school, like, if you finish the game, you hear the song. Is there's this guy, he's like, boo, waka, boo, waka, waka. And we're like, what? What are you talking? This kid's a liar. I'm serious.
That's the one, like, Nintendo rumor that like, everybody just doesn't believe.
Yeah.
You're full of shit, dude.
Well, hey, that's this week's Get Played. You can follow us on social media at Get Played Pod. Our music and engineering are by Devin Bryant, the Michelangelo of our group. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGabs. And this month's We Play, You Play is Norco, currently on PC Game Pass, which is coming Monday, May 27th. Cool, very, very cool dystopian point-and-click adventure game set in near-future rural Louisiana. Check out Norco if you want to play along. And check out our new premium show, Get Animated. Heather, what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about my favorite anime and perhaps media of all time, Neon Genesis Evangelion. If you subscribed to our Patreon last week, you've already heard us cover episodes 1 and 2 of Evangelion. And this week, we'll be covering episodes 3 and 4. You can watch along with us on Netflix. So you watch episodes 1 and 2 last week, watch 3 and 4 this week, and follow along.
New episodes of Get Animated Wednesdays at patreon.com/getplayed and coming to Stitcher Premium on June 29th.
Boom.
That was really great, guys. I feel like you both got played.
Yeah.
She did it.
I think
she did it.
I think you could say that.
She did it. You didn't even realize she did it to us.
I got sniped.
Yeah.
Oh, here, let me lick it for you first.